Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Another opening of another show.
Well, it's been an interesting week on and off Broadway. Two long-awaited musicals opened. The Neil Diamond Jukebox, A Beautiful Noise, seems to be pleasing audiences a bit more than critics, but it feels like a keeper. And Some Like It Hot, based on the classic Billy Wilder film. I think this one works really well. Great singing, three or four huge performances, starting with Christian Borle, one of my favorites. And it even finds a way to not offend, in fact, applaud the cross-dressing issue and community. I loved the movie and wondered if this would work. Several seasons back, there was a failed attempt called Sugar. Well, this one does work for many reasons, and I don't think you'll be disappointed. Is it perfect? Well, as the famous last line of the movie reminds us, nothing's perfect, but it's pretty close. At the same time, others went down. Ain't No Mo, a provocative new Broadway play imagining that the United States tries to end racism by offering to send black Americans back to Africa. Well, that one will close on December 18th, a little more than 2 weeks after opening. Will and Jada Pinkett Smith, by the way, just bought out a whole night's performance, I guess in hope of saving this one or getting something moving. We'll see if others fall in line, but I wouldn't bet on it, and this one likely won't be No Mo. The play is the third show this fall to truncate its planned run based on poor ticket sales following Gabriel Byrne's one-man show Walking with Ghosts. And what is the third one? K-pop! The Broadway musical depicting the Korean pop genre phenomenon closed on Sunday at Circle in the Square Theater. It will have played only 17 regular performances after 44 previews. The show, which received mixed reviews, grossed just $126,000. And although 70% of the venue seats were filled, the average ticket price was $32. That was a show that worked well for the small off-Broadway Ars Nova company, but clearly should have stayed small. One never knows with that decision. Kimberly Aquino is doing well, having moved from off to on, so who knows? There was a long interview in the LA Times with the creators of K-pop, in which one said, "The thing that is bothering me is the possibility that because we're closing, fellow Asian creatives will think that the only way to survive on Broadway is to compromise authenticity, to cherry pick what a white audience wants or what the Broadway gatekeepers and critics like," end quote. Well, who knows? K-pop is mostly a musical genre enjoyed by young people. That's the truth, and they are not generally Broadway goers. On the other hand, the week's final closing is, well, for a very long-running show, and that would be Stomp, which repurposed mundane items like brooms and garbage can lids to create a unique percussive stage spectacle. That one will close finally in New York on January 8th. Now, it's been playing at the Orpheus Theater in the East Village since 1994. Yes, you heard right. Though, again, that one's stayed small. Overall this past week, 35 shows played on Broadway with 264,000 tickets sold. The average ticket price was $128. The top five grossers, well, no surprises here. The Music Man, $3 million. The Lion King, $2 million. Hamilton, $2 million. Phantom of the Opera, almost $2 million. That one had announced its closing, but got a big boost. And Wicked for almost $19 million. Meanwhile, a few things keep trying to open, hoping for the best. A new one at the Atlantic's Linda Gross Theater is called The Far Country. It deals with Chinese immigration, and that's up through January 1st. Running time is 2 hours. As for what's coming now, this one was kind of surprising news, I would say. Fat Ham. A comedic and contemporary riff on Hamlet, how many of those have we seen lately, set in a backyard in the American South. Now, that one's going to transfer to Broadway in the spring, 1 year after winning the Pulitzer Prize in Drama. The play by James I. James is about a family that, well, like the one in Shakespeare's story, centers on a lonely young student, unsettled by his mother's decision to marry her dead husband's brother. But in this version, I. James seeks to use comedy and his own plot twist. Also in this version, the family is black and the young man is gay. Now, I saw this one at the Public. Once again, it was very entertaining. And once again, not for everyone. So here, too, this seems like a risky move to go all the way to Broadway. Those Pulitzers are great, but they don't necessarily mean you move to the big, big stages. Let us not forget A Strange Loop, for example, which closes shortly. Now, I remain on the West Coast for a little while longer, where I saw a piece called Invincible at the Wallace Theater in Beverly Hills. Here, too, is a new take on the Bard. Well, hardly new. This is basically Romeo and Juliet. Even their names are the same. The selling point here is the music by Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo. There's superb dancing and singing, very West Side Story and feeling, and this one is up through December 18th. Now, that's a short run, probably wise. Invincible was harshly criticized in the local paper here, which said, quote, reports of the death of the jukebox formed by theater critics are typically more of a wish than an empirical observation. But this latest incarnation deserves to topple the entire category, end quote. Ouch. The seemingly expanding catalog of celebrity bio-documentaries, including athletes as well as performers, continues, and now you can enjoy from your home Idina Menzel, Which Way to the Stage, which trails its subject on a national tour in 2018. The concert saw Menzel performing musical highlights from throughout her career, including a medley of show tunes, original pop numbers, and sing-alongs. So you'll hear renditions of Take Me or Leave Me from Rent, Defying Gravity from Wicked, and Let It Go from Frozen, and more and more. Anyway, the holidays are upon us, which is generally good news for theater. There are still a lot of uncertainty about masks and the like. I know there is out here in LA, so I have to assume it's going on everywhere. So things are far from being back to normal. In fact, I am not normally an opera fan, but I'm going to a movie theater Wednesday to see the limited Metropolitan Opera showing of The Hours, based on the Virginia Woolf story and, of course, the movie. This one stars Renee Fleming and Kelly O'Hara, two of my favorites. It's been a sellout in New York in person at the Met, and I am told it plays, well, like a play. So I assume this is happening in other cities as well. So, Jill, there's still plenty of ways to get your taste of theater.
Oh, yeah. So I'm really curious what's happening, because the most hardcore maskers around here, except for what I'm going to call the Broadway demographic, have realized that the depredations to their immune system is like way too much. Because everybody's sick.
Yeah,
everybody's sick. And by sick, I don't mean they don't have COVID. They don't have COVID unless they test themselves for 2 weeks, and then, you know, then they finally come up with a positive. But it's sort of, you know, people have forgotten how to have a cold and stay home. It's really amazing. That's
so. Right. I think it's something people are saying, we're going to live with this. It's going to be another flu. We'll take our.
Well, right, we have to. And so the point is that the reason, and this is, you know, coming out at a clip now, the reason you don't wear a mask during a respiratory virus is because you can't breathe.
Right.
So you're not protecting anybody from anything, is the long short.
Not to mention you can't recognize anybody.
There's that.
You can't hear what they're saying. But
I
don't know what's going on in New York. I mean, it sounds like people are still going to theaters now.
Yeah, and I would be very surprised if they reimposed that. I would be very surprised, especially during tourist season, where a lot of places that a lot of people are coming from, you know, have been done with masks since, you know, a long time.
They're talking about reimposing indoor mask mandate in L.A. That's the rumor. But
and they're talking about doing it in New York, or they have done it.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
But the point being that, as before, mandates are not laws. It's simply a question of whether people choose to comply.
Yeah.
And so I will be really curious what happens on the on the Broadway front now that the energy has there's an energy there and there are people coming and
they want to see musicals. They want to see happy musicals. So they're going to go see Some Like It Hot. They're going to go see Beautiful Noise. They are still seeing Six.
Well, that makes us geniuses. Because
yeah, I mean,
for 2 years, we've been talking about, people longer. You know, in the end, people want to see happy / entertaining musicals, basically.
Absolutely. I'm surprised a Funny Girl wasn't on that list of five, because Funny Girl's doing very well, making over, but it didn't quite. But I know it's doing very, very well.
Huh.
So and that's, those shows are going to, January's a month to watch. January's always a month to watch. We've talked about that. Everybody goes home. Gets cold, and we'll see what happens. And people get colds, so we'll see what happens. That's the month to watch. But
right.
And Christmas, who knows?
And I was just curious also about, the reviews for the Neil Diamond were
kind of tepid.
That's nice, yeah. But I'm struck to see that it doesn't seem to have had much of an affect.
Not at all. People want to see Neil Diamond, those songs, and hear those songs.
Right.
And I do, too. I'm going to see that when I get back. Tepid reviews. But, that's a jukebox musical. Either you love those songs or you don't. The Temptations, that show did well for a long time. And matter of fact, it's coming back here to L.A. where it started, ironically. But, that's basically Broadway is about old-fashioned, and God bless them for trying new things. God bless them. But I think they really are going to have to do a look at who's going to Broadway shows. Are they people who want to see K-pop, who want to see A Strange Loop? Maybe, as I always say, maybe some shows are better staying small.
And maybe that will... I should use reinvent. What was it? Reimagine. Maybe that will reimagine the concept of off-Broadway.
It really should and could.
Sorry to show my age here, but that's what it was. Off-Broadway didn't mean, failure can't make it.
Not at all. I mean, in the public theater, they certainly had luck with.
Oh, yeah. Was off-Broadway. And remember, there's off-Broadway. It's just somewhere along the way. Probably around the same time as Out of Town Triad, or the advent of here. Let me just go online and rant, and say I don't like the director's tie color or whatever, polo shirt color. Somewhere around that time, the whole notion of putting on a show it took on a new angle.
It's definitely changed. The show must not always go on, and it must not always go on.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.